Hi, welcome to the Center Court Podcast for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Drew Bonifant. Drew, seems like every time you've been driving up lately, it's been in cruddy weather. Glad you made it.
I think it was just a message. Maybe the force they're trying to get in the way of this, but they're not going to slow us down, all right? All right. Keep it going.
We're tougher than that. Our guest this week is Winslow High School boys basketball coach Jared Brown. Coach, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about your team right now. 10-4. Sixth in the Class B North Conference, Hill Point standings. With four games left in the regular season, kind of what are some of the things you're looking for out of your team to be improving on as you make the push to the playoffs?
I think for us, the biggest thing that we've got to focus on is knowing that every team that we play from here on out, I mean, we're the biggest game on their schedule, and they're going to be giving us everything they have, and we've got to be ready to go every single night for 32 minutes. The second we start to let our guard down, that's when the other teams pick it up and they get after us. And we respect all of our opponents the same, and we know that, like I said, we're the biggest team on their schedule, and we've got to be ready to go. So every game for us is basically played with a tournament intensity and tournament atmosphere. So we've got to make sure we're at that level, too, throughout these last four games.
Coach, when you look at where you're standing in Class B, 10-4, definitely in a position to make the tournament and everything. But when you look at the teams that are kind of at the top of that pack, there's not really a team that separated itself as the team to beat. It was kind of looking like Mount Desert Island could be that team. They've lost twice in a row. They've lost twice to, I think, was it Presque Isle and Orono. And those two teams then lost to Herman, who lost to Mount Desert Island. So there's a lot of, circular things like that. Right. Does that just give you a better feeling that This is a wide open
division? Yeah, I think it's definitely wide open. I think MDI coming into the season was a lot of people's favorite, but they've lost a couple of games now. I mean, Orono's a very good team. Herman, we played in the preseason. They're very good, too. Central has kind of surprised some people, too. They're a spot or two ahead of us. Presque Isle had a big one against MDI, and sure, they're now third. So I think on any given night, it sounds cliche, but on any given night, any team can beat anyone else, and I think that goes for us too.
We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Is it tough scouting when it's two different leagues that make up the region, and you could probably see maybe MCI or Mount View or Belfast teams that you compete with in the KVAC, but it's likely that when you get to the cross center, you're going to be facing an unknown opponent.
Yeah, luckily this time of year, the way that the games are scheduled, a lot of the games between the conference are scheduled on opposite nights. So a couple of weeks ago, my staff and I went up to Central, and we saw Central and Herman play on a Wednesday. We played Tuesday, Friday. Last week, we went to the Cross Center and saw Babs and Washington Academy. So we're lucky that the way that, just with the official situation and how teams scheduled, that we can see some of these teams in the Bangor area. It gets tricky when you have to see like a Holton or a Presque Isle or one of the county teams.
Right.
But luckily, with technology being what it is today, a lot of teams post games online. So those games are available to the public, and we try to find as many of those games online, too. So I think in years past, it's been a lot tougher, but with technology advancing the way it is, that it's much easier now, and I think it benefits everybody. I mean, we have games online, too, and I hope that teams scout us. I think it's good to scout an opponent. I think it raises the level of play and raises the quality of play and makes for a better basketball game come the tournament. So I hope teams scout us online.
Coach, one thing about the closing slate for your team that I thought was pretty interesting was you finished with three Class A teams of the four you have playing, and they're kind of all over the map. Waterville and Morris are having tough seasons, but Erskine's been a good team in Class A North. What do you think about what are some of your thoughts on those teams you have coming up? I know you gave the speech at the beginning about taking each game as its own, but just what are some of your thoughts on those teams?
Well, Waterville, I know it's a building year for Waterville, but anytime a Winslow-Waterville game takes place, you can throw the records out the window because it's all about pride. So we know that on Saturday, Waterville's going to be ready to get us in our own gym because we get them at their place. Erskine and Winslow have been a traditional rivalry back when both teams were in B. Back when I was in high school, Erskine was the team, and we'd sell out the Erskine gym, I remember, a couple games, and sell out the Winslow gym too. So that's a traditional rivalry for us too, and we got them at their place, and I'm sure they're going to be ready for us at home. And then Morse, very odd scheduling. We played them once, the last game of the year, and they're one of our furthest distance-wise opponents from us. So I don't know how we ended up with Morse, but if you look at their schedule, they're playing AA schools. They're playing Lewiston, they're playing EL, they're playing Other good teams are playing Westbrook. They're playing a lot of the traditional Class A, the old Class A powers, and the current AA powers. They beat Brunswick this year. So, and again, Brunswick, obviously one of the more traditional programs in the state. So I think Morris, even though they've only got 3 or 4 wins right now, they're going to be a very good team, and that's going to be a very big game for us. And like I said, we're not in a position where we can just overlook anybody. So our schedule coming up, it's a good way, I think, to lead into the tournament with these competitive games and good atmosphere.
One of the challenges you faced at the beginning of the season was blending in a few veterans with a lot of young guys, but it seems to have worked well. What can you say about the leadership your guys have shown, your upperclassmen?
Right. This goes back to the summer when Keanu Earl and Spencer Miranda kind of took it upon themselves to show up to our optional workouts. Every morning I run workouts in the summer for both boys and girls teams. So Keanu and Spencer, everything's optional. They showed up and they were there just about every day. And our young guys like Colby Pomeroy, Justin LaFlemme, Cam Goodwin, who's now on varsity for us, those younger guys were there. And our older guys, yeah, they were pretty tough on them and made them work. But there's a reason they're doing that, and that's to get them ready to be varsity basketball players. And you can see that, too, in the way we play and in practice. The level of intensity in practice has picked up because Keanu and Spencer set the tone vocally. Dylan Hutchinson's been a good leader for us, too, setting the tone in a more quiet way but leading by example. I think our senior leadership this year has been very good. Trevor Gursky's been more vocal, too. He's our fourth senior. So these younger guys like Jack Morneau and Mike Wilds and Hunter Campbell and Jake LaPierre, the guys that it's going to be their team next year, those guys have learned a lot, I think, from our seniors about how to conduct themselves, how to act, and how to play, obviously. But our leadership's been very good, and I think it's going to pay off in the future because our guys are going to know how to act, how to be a varsity basketball player. These guys have done a really good job preparing them for that.
We talked about the Class A teams that are on the schedule, but you have Miranda Cook. They've put themselves right back in that playoff picture. And looking at some of the games they've had recently, Kyle Wilbur has really stepped up as a scorer for them. He had a 30-point game recently, a 26-point game, another stretch. Is he going to be kind of the main focus for your team in that game?
Kyle's one of the best shooters in our conference, if not the best. Our game plan the first time was to try to block him down, not let him get anything easy, try to play him physical. Spencer, I thought, started on him, did a great job. Mike Wilds came in off the bench, did a great job on him. Keanu did a great job. So any guy we threw on him did a really good job. I'm anticipating Coach Schmidt, who's an outstanding coach, is going to have some adjustments and we'll get Kyle some better looks or put him in position to run him off some screens and make us work a little bit harder defensively. So we've got to be ready to go and get them because Miranda Cook is very – they have got 6 wins, but the 6 wins they have, I think the first 3 games they lost by, 9 points or something or a stat like that. So they could easily have 11 or 12 wins right now. So they're a very good team, and I don't think the record shows how good they are. So, yeah, Kyle's a good player. Brian Riley off the bench for them last year had a big game. So they're not just a one-man show with Wilbur. They've got some very good role players, and we've got to be ready for anybody who can get hot, and we've got to do our job defensively.
What's kind of when you look at how that first game against Miranda Cook went, 61-41.
40, something like that.
Yeah. So, a convincing win for your side, but like you said, you expect Schmidt to kind of come out with some adjustments based on how that first game went. From your perspective, how much of that can you look at it as, okay, let's just do what we did that game that worked so well, and how much of that is, okay, well, we can't expect this to work just the way it did before because Schmidt's going
to
be ready.
Right, that comes down to our preparation. You got to have a base offense, a base defense, and some counters to that. Last time we ran our base defense and it did the job. This time if they've got some things they've added, some wrinkles, we've got to be ready to adjust. And it's my job as a coach to prepare our guys to some things that I see that I've watched on film that I think they might do, some things that a basketball coach would have his team do to put his shooter in a situation to get some more shots. So we've got to make a couple of tweaks to our game plan just in case. We don't want to deviate too much from what we do because what we do, I think, is pretty good and has gotten us pretty far. But out of our base defense, we got to be ready to make some game planning adjustments, and we'll do that as the time comes. So that could come down to just a simple call out of a dead ball situation. And so instead of maybe no help one away on Wilbur, maybe we go to a straight face guard, and so no help any pass away. So just little simple tweaks like that. From the offensive standpoint, we thought they were going to play us a lot of zone last game, and we really prepared for the zone, and we didn't really see a whole lot of zone. So just things like, you never know what the other team's going to do, and you got to be prepared every day. So every day we try to work on both our man and zone offenses, because with the talent we have on our team and the personnel we have, we can see anything. And on any given day, whatever defense we see, that might be effective. So we've got to be ready to go both on the offensive end and the defensive end, and be ready to counter that when we see that we need to make a counter.
Okay, looking at some of the issues in high school basketball in Maine right now, every year there's 1,000-point scorers across the state. Recently here in central Maine, Brad Smith from Temple Academy reached a milestone. Just Tuesday night, Waterville's Jordan Jabber reached it for the Waterville girls team. Coach Brown, you've had one in your time at Winslow in Trevor Lovely a couple of years ago. When you're coaching a player approaching such an important milestone like that, how tough is it to kind of manage it? Do you find yourself thinking about it during games?
I'm not going to lie. It does come into the back of your mind when you are coaching. I mean, how many does he have tonight and how many does he need to average? That does come up. But the bigger picture is you got to win the game, and you got to do what's best for the entire team. And Trevor was such a great player to coach because he did care about the team. He was going to score, but we all knew he was going to score. Yeah. So he was more concerned about getting the win. During that stretch, that was 2014, so it was a couple of years ago, we just ran our stuff, and our system was designed to get him shots, and he just happened to make shots. And he got his 20 a game. On his senior night, he needed 33 going in. We didn't deviate from the game plan at all, and he was as hot as any player I'd ever seen in a gym. He got 33 points in less than three quarters. Well, about three quarters, about halfway through the third quarter, he hit it. So he was absolutely on fire, and he wasn't pressing, he wasn't forcing, he was just out of the flow of our offense. He was getting great shots. So Trevor was a guy I didn't really have to worry about. I thought he handled it well. I think so. A lot of other kids, I think they just play. I mean, I think it's more of an issue for adults, really, more than anything.
Sure.
The kids are just out there playing basketball, and if they score, oh, great, we score. But like I said, I think Trevor handled it really well. I'm very proud of what he did, and I think once he hit it, that was one of the most special nights I've had as a coach. Gym was packed, standing room only. It was a night where the girls didn't play, so their crowd was in too. All of our rec kids were there because it was a Saturday night. So everybody in town basically saw that happen. And when he hit it, like, there was a countdown going on. They were chanting every time he scored how many more he needed. But Trevor, again, didn't force anything out of that. Just played basketball, and he made his shots. When he hit it, the gym erupted. Kids were on. I didn't storm the court.
It was, you don't want the technical foul.
It was close. We had a nice little ceremony, and we took him out. He went to the locker room, kind of composed himself, came back, and we ended up actually winning that game by about 30 points. So it was a good night for everybody. We had 12 three-pointers that night. Other seniors had. It was a really special night for our seniors, and I think one of the big moments in our program since I've been here, that I think that's a moment that a lot of people are going to look back to, or do look back and say, this is a very special night, and this is what our program is all about. Because it wasn't just about Trevor. It was about everybody in that gym, including all those little kids, which is kind of funny now, because now they played for me. Those little kids are now on my team. So it was a big night and a very proud moment for the town of Winslow, Winslow High School.
But you didn't feel like, all right, I got to leave him into a game because we, you know, we'd prefer to get him at home. If it happened at home, on the road, in the tournament, it didn't matter.
That never really came up. All of our games are competitive, so he's going to play the majority of the game anyways.
Sure.
So it never really came up. Maybe once, but he was going to play his regular rotation minutes, and it happened. So I never felt any pressure or anything like that to play him, and I don't think he felt any pressure because he's just out there playing, like I said. So and that's how it happened.
I had a high school friend who got his 1,000th point when we were juniors, and he knew it was coming up, and he was trying to make it special, and he dunked on it to get his 1,000th point, and immediately got a technical foul for hanging on the rim.
That's
but we all kind of said,
that's,
you know,
that's
what?
A typical high school.
We can, well, you know, even the coach was like, all right, you know what, we'll let it slide because of the moment, but just don't make it a habit.
Right.
So, I mean, it sounds like you said the fans kind of let you know when he was getting close and everything, but did you have a plan going in for how to keep track of the points? Was it whether you're going to do it yourself?
We had our manager doing the score off to the side. One of our senior managers, his job that night was just, we'd get photocopied a page out of the book, and you'd put Trevor's name on it and just fill out the book like you're just doing the game, but just put Trevor's on it so I know if it's close, because we were anticipating, well, he needs 33, he's going to have to be in for most of the game, so trying to I did want to get it on senior. That's the only time I really wanted to get some points. But he exceeded all expectations, and everybody else was playing well too, so it didn't really come down to a crunch time situation where he's trying not to give him the ball, so it just kind of happened that way.
I'm going to just say, we apologize if you can hear the pounding in the back room. There's some background. There's some construction going on here at the Morning Sentinel today, and there's guys kind of playing around in the ceiling tile. So if you hear some banging or one of the screams because the tile falls on our head, we apologize. Let's move on. Recently, Hampden Academy had their home court win streak snapped at 62 wins in a row. They lost a game to Bangor High School. Coach, what's it like for you guys to have home games? I know your gym is, you know, not huge. It can get pretty loud and boisterous in there.
Right.
How important is home field home court advantage?
For us, it's huge. Like you said, our gym is fairly small. The crowd's right on top of you. Our student section is pretty vocal and supportive of us. And other teams that don't see that on a night-in, night-out basis, I think sometimes they have a tendency to get rattled. You get students, like an entire section of bleachers right on top of you,
right,
chanting and stuff. That can be intimidating for a 15, 16-year-old high school kid to do. And again, the cliche, the home court, I mean, you practice in your home gym, you should play better there. Well, yeah, that does make a difference. You know the bounces, you know the rim, how soft the rim is and stuff like that. You're in your own locker room, you know where the water is, so it's
right,
it's just a comfort thing. And I think our guys do play well, and obviously in front of your home fans and in front of the rec kids that go to your rec stuff every Saturday morning, they want to see you do well. So I think it's, for us, it's a community event. It's not quite the level of a Winslow football game where the entire town goes out and sees it, because we have some weird times with a Tuesday night, and it's not the best time for
sure
a family to go to a game. But we do a very good job, I think, of packing our gym, and we're proud to represent the program and Mansfield Gymnasium, and I think it's probably the best environment that we play in, any gym that we do play in.
What's the toughest road environment you guys typically play in?
Spruce Mountain by far.
Yeah.
The old dome up to Jay. It's loud, it's hot, there's echoes. they're really good this year, so they've got a lot of fans. They've got a rabid student section. It's nice that they're kind of on the opposite end of our bench, but they pack a whole little section of bleacher, and they're loud, and it's like they're right on top of you. The floor is 94 feet, and it's plastic, so the sight lines are weird. The whole gym's a dome, so the scoreboards are at weird angles. So it is a very tough place to play. I think Spruce does a very good job of taking advantage of that, too.
Sure.
They'll press you 94 feet. You're not used to that. You're used to the 84 feet in the regular high school gym. They try to wear you out, and they get you to the rim and shoot threes on you. So I think the Spruce gym is tough. Lawrence last year we played there was obvious. It's Lawrence. I don't think I need to say anything
more
about
that. Yeah, Folsom gym can be loud.
Yeah.
That's
probably,
since I've been in Central Maine, that's you know, the loudest I've ever heard a place.
Right. Actually, Belfast was pretty loud a couple nights ago, too. They've got a good team this year. They got a pool right above the gym, so it's always hot.
Right.
It's always humid in there. And they, like I said, they're good. And when you're good, fans are going to come and support the team. And last couple years, Belfast has been tough, too. But, we love our home environment, and we're proud to play in that environment.
Drew, you haven't been in Maine long, but have you been in a gym that you found, you know, man, this place is rocking?
Two were interesting. One from that angle, just it got loud, and the other one from the layout. Garner got loud when they played Coney in the first game of the season. And it was a game that came down to the last few seconds, so that helps the noise in the place.
And they have the seats in the baseline, which is
exactly
where
they have the seats. It's, you know, four sides of the court with fans there, and you know, Coney brought their fans, so they're getting loud at the beginning when Coney got to lead, when Garner rallied, their fans got in, then you got the back and forth, and it really felt like, you know, it felt like a big game environment, even though it was mid-December, it was pretty early in the season.
Right.
And the other one that's neat is Halldale's gym, because they have their fans on one side, but then they also have kind of a top layer.
Yeah,
balcony layer, so you can... It was more this way. I saw them play a game against Winthrop, so they brought a lot of fans for that. And it had that. It just had a kind of a two-deck feel to it, and this is not something you get off in high school.
Yeah, with the stage on the other side of the court.
The stage kind of takes away from a little bit, because it's only really one half of the gym that can get loud, but it, when you're sitting, I was on the stage, so what I'm talking about is what I was looking at, and it just kind of felt like, you know, like a bigger venue. It was neat. How about you?
Well, we mentioned it. Folsom Gym at Lawrence High School is one of the loudest places. I remember a prelim game years ago, Skowhegan at Lawrence, which is a rivalry to begin with, and with a spot at the Old Bangor Auditorium on the line. Place was packed. It was loud. I mean, it was shaking. It was literally shaking. That was nice. You mentioned it earlier, Coach, some of the old Winslow Erskine games.
At the little Erskine gym
or at your place have been fun.
Yeah, even Winslow Waterville at Waterville can get pretty rowdy, too.
I remember, I'm going back to 2002-2003 season, Brunswick, when they were very good, when Ralph Mims was playing there, came to the old Coney gym, which no longer exists, and that place was just insanely loud and rocking, and it was a good game. Coney was one of the teams that gave them a close game that year, and Brunswick was just very, very good. And Valley back in the day could get very loud. Another small, Class D, when they play like a Forest Hills or a Piscataquis, that place can get pretty good.
Right.
Drew, what are some of the games in the next week or so that you're looking forward to?
One of them is Garden Meslowski. It's going to be this Thursday, and it's just a matchup of two teams that I think have to feel really good about how things are going for them. Gardner just came off wins over Hampton in Oxford Hills. And Meslowski has won 9 of the last 11 games. It's only two losses that have been by 2 points each. So that's two teams that have to feel like they have a good amount of momentum going into the final weeks of the season, into the final week of the season, getting ready for the tournament. And then Halldale Winthrop next Tuesday. It's going to be Winthrop's last. Winthrop plays Monmouth, which is having a down in his luck season. But Halldale will be a last test to see if the pass to see if Winthrop can put the finishing touches on a perfect season, perfect regular season at least.
Yeah.
You?
For me, Friday night, boys Class C game, Mountain Valley Conference. We have Mount Abram at Halldale. Mount Abram's a team that's won 4 of its last 5 to get back into the playoff hunt and some big wins. They just upset a very good Madison team on Tuesday night. And Halldale, like you mentioned, is kind of fighting for one of those top playoff spots in the region. And then on Saturday, we have a Gardner at Skowhegan Class A boys game. Gardner coming off a couple big wins, and Skowhegan also fighting for playoff position. So those should be a couple interesting games. Coach, I know you've got your own team to worry about, but are there any kind of games you're keeping your eye on?
We've got to worry about us right now. I mean, if we take care of business, everything else will fall into place. And I know it sounds kind of cliche, but we just got to worry about us. We're not really looking ahead at the schedule, and we're going to end up playing who we play in the tournament, and we'll go from there.
All right. Coach, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Drew, thanks for coming up again.
Absolutely.
I'm Travis. He's Drew Bonneman, and thanks for listening to Center Court. We'll talk to you next week.